Morning, everyone. Today's daf in Masechet Megillah. Daf Yedalad. We're on Yigim Lamed Alpha. Thank the Lupin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf of the Lumen Zeh Chanishma Slos Lupin Zoltzman. We find ourselves in Daf Yigim Amud Aleph towards the bottom of the Amud. About 10 lines from the bottom of the Amud, we're starting with the words Vati Eser Nos Ischein. The Gemara is darshaning the Megillah itself. We know that the Megillah, 10 prakim of the Megillah, is one of the last farm that were incorporated, included into Sifrei Tanakh, and the Daf, we are now the second half of the first parak of the Megillah. So the Daf is spending a week darshaning the Psukim and explaining various aspects of the Psukim of the Megillah. We covered so far. It all started back on Daf Yud, Yud on the base, and so since that point in time, Daf Yud up, Daf Yud base, Daf Yud Gimel. We're halfway into yesterday's daf already, which isn't good, but that's okay. We'll hopefully we'll catch up. The Gemara has been darshing the psukim. We've gone through basically the first parak of the Megillah, and when I say the Megillah, I mean the actual Megillah itself. We went to the first parak, and now we're into the second parak of the Megillah. So we're looking now at the introduction to Mordechai in the second parak of the Megillah, and introduction to Esther. And Esther also was brought into the Melech, into the palace, in order to be auditioned for the position of the new queen. Considering that Vashti lost her position, lost her head. Did you notice a couple of observations? Did you notice that the Navi, the Megillah, never actually tells us that Vashti died? The advice that was given to her is that, you know, Vashti's no good, and you know that's no good, and send home letters to everybody and etc., etc. But did you notice that in the Megillah itself, it does not actually mention the fate of Vashti? Okay? Just simply, she was no longer there. So we are the ones who fill in the blank. I mean, we. And the Midrashim as well. But I'm saying, but it's, you know, generally assumed, if you ask anybody, what happened to Vashti? They'll say, oh yeah, she was killed. Right? Point to the place in the Megillah where it actually says that. It doesn't. Okay, just an observation. But, okay. Anyway, so we're looking now to coronate the next queen. So the audition, the Gemara yesterday pointed out, Ahasuerus was not as wise as David. David, when he needed a new wife, so he basically said, there's a candidacy, there's an opening, and basically asked women to step forward. He said, the Gemara says, that was wise. Ahasuerus, he grabbed every girl available, and he brought him into the palace, and the Gemara pointed out that that's not wise. Okay, one of the observations that we made yesterday. The last thing we pointed out, the Gemara had one complimentary thing to say about Ahasuerus, and that is that he was tsanua. In other words, when he had relations with these women, so it was during the night. So, in the larger picture, the Gemara pointed out, obviously, grabbing girls and forcing them to have relations as a form of audition, the Gemara says that's, you know, obviously, in the grand scheme of things, not good. But the Gemara pointed out, but he does have relations at night, and that's Tanua, and the Gemara points out that's one complimentary thing we could say regarding Ahasuerus. We are continuing now, we're on the bottom of Yigim Lamed Alef. We are going to go through the Psukim. As I pointed out, we're in Perek Beis in the actual Megillah, and we're in Perek Aleph in the Masechta. Vati Esther Nos Ischein Amar Rabbi Elazar Melamed Shelechol Echa Ve'echa Nidmasa Lo K'umaso. Esther was a bit amorphous, so that everybody was able to take credit for her. Meaning that every nationality said, oh, she's one of ours. So, and that's what the Pshat in the Pasuk is, when the Pasuk says, Vati Esther Nos Ischein, Esther found favor, Bechol Roeha. And everybody looked at her, in other words, everyone said, oh yeah, she's ours. Vati Lakach Esther L'melech HaChashverosh, El Beis Machuso Bechorish Asiri, Hu Chorish Teves. Now what month was she taken into the palace? She was taken in the month of Tevis. So in other words, her audition, if you will, was in the month of Tevis. What's notable about the month of Tevis? It's the dead of winter. It's cold. The Gemara points out, Yerech Shenen Aguf Men Aguf. Right, by grand design. Kadosh Baruch Hu had it that she auditioned in the month of Tevis. It's a cold month, and the warm body is more appreciated in the cold month, and so made her more beloved to Ahasuerus. Vayav HaMelech es Esther mikol anashim ha-tisachin v'chesel lefanav mikol ha-bisulos. So she was more favorable than all of the women and all of the bisulos. Amar Rav Bikesh l'tom tam bisula tam tam be'ula ta'am. Gemara over here says that whether One wanted to have Tam Besula, Tam Be'ula. All right, Esther was able to accommodate. What exactly the Gemara means by this, I don't know. It fits into the larger theme, which is that Esther basically can conform to multiple nationalities and in this particular case, multiple sensations. But it's certainly the deed in the pasuk I certainly understand, and that the pasuk talks about Nashim and it talks about Bestulos, meaning that Esther really could be both. Now Esther refused to reveal her nationality. That was by instruction. Mordechai told her not to reveal her nationality. So the Gemara points out, Achashverosh basically did a number of things to try to get her to talk and basically to identify herself. So so first of all, Achashverosh makes a big party. Okay, a lavish party. Okay, Esther, you like this party? Now tell me, where are you from? But nothing. Lo Galilei. Dali Karga. So then what does Achashverosh do? So he repeals taxes. Okay, basically gives every nation a break. And he does so in the name of Esther, right? In the name of my new queen, so everyone's going to get a tax break. He turns to Esther, he says, okay, see that? That was nice, right? Could you please tell me where you're from? So, Velo Galilei. And again, nothing. So, Shadar Pardishna Velo Galilei. So, he sent gifts to all the dignitaries of the world in the name of Esther, right? That's Rashi points out. That's the pshat in the pasuk Vayitin Maseis Kiad HaMelech. He's sending out gifts, and he turns to Esther and he says, "Look, gifts in your name." Okay, now would you identify yourself? And Velo Galilei, and again she doesn't. V'kabit Besulo Shenis. And then, strange part of the perek, and the Gemara now is going to give us pshat. And the strange part of the perek is that there's a new gathering of Besulos for Achashverosh. What is going on? Meaning, he already selected Esther. Esther now has been coronated as the new queen, and now he's bringing in more Besulos. So, Azo Shakal Eitzel Me Mordechai. So, Achashverosh turns to Mordechai as an advisor, and we will insert in the Gemara that not knowing that that Mordechai was the wife of, not knowing that Mordechai was the husband of Esther. And Amar, and now Mordechai is advising, and Achashverosh turns to Mordechai and basically says, look, I found a girl, she's great, she won't tell me where she's from. She won't identify her nationality. So now this is Mordechai advising Achashverosh. Amar, Eina, Isha, Metkana, Ela, Bier, Chaverta. So you want to get her to get jealous? So here's what you do. A woman gets jealous, Bier, Chaverta. I mean, the point over here is good. The Gemara spells it out very detailed, but basically, another woman will make this woman jealous. And so now we go back to the Megillah. So he's basically gathering other Besulos into his palace to make Esther jealous so that Esther would identify her nationality. And all this was because of the advice given by Mordechai. Now, we could suggest, that basically Mordechai tried to, in other words, Esther was taken, but it was also Mordechai's wife, and what basically Mordechai was trying to do was extricate Esther from the palace. Perhaps. We could suggest that the Gemara does not say that. But, Dichsiv, Ein Esther Mages Malalitza. And still, Esther's refusing to tell of her nationality. Amar Rav Elazar, my Dichsiv. Lo Yigarim Mitzadik Ein Anav. Kadosh Baruch Hu does not hold back from the Tzadik. Rashi explains over here, this is a pasuk in Iyov. Rashi explains over here that Kadosh Baruch Hu looks carefully at the actions of a tzaddik, and it will pay back the tzaddik, even if it's not to the tzaddik himself, down the road. Meaning, maybe years later, maybe generations later, but Kadosh Baruch Hu will pay back the tzaddik for the action of the tzaddik. And the Gemara points out, B'schar tzniyah shahaytzala beracha, zach sav yasem imenu shal. U'b'schar tzniyah shahayabah b'shal, zach sav yasem imenu Esther. Because of the tzniyah, the modesty that Rachel had, so Kadosh Baruch Hu paid back years later with Shaul, and because of the modesty that Shaul had, so it's paid back years later with Esther. And the Gemara points out, now let's identify, what tznius are we talking about? Umay tznius haisala b'rachel. So we're now looking at the tznius of Rachel. Dichzi v'yage Yaakov l'rachel k'achiyav yehi. And Yaakov was told, Yaakov told Rachel, ki achi aviyahu, that he is the brother of my father. So the Gemara says, now what does that mean? It's it's ben achos, meaning they are the son of the sister. So ella amar lo menafili. So the Gemara points out now over here that there was a dialogue that's taking place between Yaakov and Rachel. So Yaakov says to Rachel, menafili, like, I'd like to marry you. So amar lay in. So she says, yeah, sure, no problem at all. So miu abar amahu velo yachaltlay. But she says, but I'm going to warn you, though. I'm agreeable to the marriage, but my father is a Ramai, and you're not going to beat him, meaning he's the best, Rachel says regarding her father. So Amalei, Achiv Ana B'Ramos. So that's the pshat in the pasuk. The pasuk says that we're brothers, meaning they're not brothers, but it means that I could do, as much as he could be a Ramai, I could be a Ramai as well. Amalei, Umishar, L'Tzadik, L'Sguye, B'Ramusa. So Rachel says to Yaakov, I thought I knew you. Right, you're a tzaddik. In other words, and isn't part of the definition of a tzaddik meaning that you are not deceptive? So Amalei in. So Yaakov says, no, it's not totally. It's not that simple. Im navar titabar v'imikesh titapel. If someone deals with you deceitfully, so then you can respond in kind. So in other words, correct. Normally, a tzaddik behaves like a tzaddik and is honest and is straightforward and. And there's no, there's nothing that is deceptive. But if you are spoken to deceptively, if you're treated deceptively, so you can respond in kind. Amrle amay ramusa, amrle isle achta de kashisha. So now Yaakov says to Rachel, "What do you think your father's going to do in terms of trying to trick me?" So Rachel says, "I have an older sister. I'm sorry, kashisha minai. She's older than me. Well, lamentably mikama, and he will not marry me off before the older sister." Okay, so basically what my father plans on doing is marrying off my older sister. We're all familiar. The older sister's Leah. Marrying off the older sister before me. Masala simanim. So the Gemara here says that there were simanim. There were signs, codes, that were agreed to between Yaakov and Rachel, so that when Yaakov marries Rachel, he will know through the codes that this is none other than Rachel. Ki mata layla amra hashta michzefa achtai. So they get to the wedding night, and Rachel realizes that, as she predicted, Dad replaced her with Leah, and he says, and she thinks to herself, you know, Leah's going to get embarrassed. So, Misartin Yehala, I'm going to give her the simanim. So it was in the morning, and it turns out that it was Leah. Meaning, Yaakov married what he thought to be was Rachel, turns out to be Leah, and the point of discovery was only in the morning. Which means that up until the morning he didn't know. Which means and that's all because of the simanim that was given over from Rachel to Leah, so that the entire evening Leah could give off the impression that she was in fact Rachel. And so Rachel was right. Lavan was better than Yaakov than this. But only because Rachel was able to assist in that she gave over the simanim. And by the way, in the Gemara, do you understand how the Gemara is categorizing all this? All this is put under the category of tznius. Okay, it's an interesting form of tznius. It's not tznius as we normally think of tznius. We think of tznius as modesty, of being humble and quiet. This is an extreme form of tznius, meaning that she's so self-effacing that basically she's ready to give over her position over to her sister, even though it's interesting also. I mean, certainly, I don't have a good approach for this, but certainly understand it from a Mida's perspective, how it's a good Mida that she had. On the other hand, it's not what Yaakov wanted. And she agreed to Yaakov that she would, she would be the one. So, you know, in other words, she does an unbelievable sacrifice for her sister, but at the expense of Yaakov. So, understandably, that's the difficult aspect of this. It makes it complicated. Okay, so it's a little bit complicated. Lo havayad ad hashta lefichach zachzav yatsa mimen ashal. So with this high degree of tznius, so what does the Kadosh Baruch Hu do? Pays Rachel back, not immediately, generations later. Now we fast forward to Shal. Shal was, of course, from the Sheva Binyamin. She was from the tribe of Binyamin. Binyamin, obviously, a son of Rachel. So the tznius, the act of tznius that Rachel had, is helped, is kept, stored, and brought out later for Shaul. And we now know that Shaul, and Shaul, by the way, becomes the king. We also know that Shaul also had a high level of tznius. How do we know that? Because after Shmuel coronates Shaul, so he goes back to his uncle, and his uncle said, did you find the sheep? And he says to his uncle, nah. Anything happened while you were gone? And basically Shaul said, nah. Even though he was just coronated king of Israel. So you see that he was humble, self-effacing, right? Basically, he had no problem not stepping into the limelight. Zachav yasam imenu Esther. So as a result of that, again, not immediately, but Akash Baruch Hu pays back the tznius generations later with that of Esther. V'amar Rebbe Lazar kasha Akash Baruch Hu posek gedul aladam posek levanav levnei vanav at sof kol hadoros. Gemara over here makes a similar point, which is that when Akash Baruch Hu establishes greatness, it's not just greatness for that generation, but that greatness continues for all future generations. Shenemer, v'yoshivim lanesach v'yagbiyu. V'im hegis da'ato. Now, what if the recipient of that greatness becomes arrogant? Okay, you've been with us in the daf long enough, you know that one of the things that the Gemara just rejects the most is arrogance. And so now, with this level of greatness, what if the next generation becomes arrogant? So Kadosh Baruch Hu mashpilav. So Kadosh Baruch Hu will put him down to try to break that arrogance. Shenemar v'im asurim b'zikim. Okay, this is all generated, all these drashas is generated from that same pasuk in Sefer Iyov. Okay. Period. V'ezmar mar Mordechai Esther Osa. Okay, back to the Megillah. We're now approaching the end of the second perek of the Megillah. We are pasuk chaf, ein Esther magez malata v'esama. Right, we just went over that. The Esther is refusing to reveal identity. Kasher Sivala Mordechai, as Mordechai instructed her. Ves Mamar Mordechai Esther Osa, and the Mamar Mordechai and the word of Mordechai she did. What is that in reference to? Now our Gemara will explain. Am Rabbi Yirmiyah Shahaisa Mare Damnida L'Chachamim. She showed Damnida to the Chachamim, meaning that if there's any menstrual blood, so she'll show it to the Chachamim to make sure that she was not in Nida. Kasher Haisa Be'amna Ito, as she was with him. Who's the him? Am Rabba Bar Lima Mishmei Derav Shahaisa Omez Mecheko Shal Achashverosh V'Tavels V'Yosheves Becheko Shal Mordechai. So the Gemara over here spells out that she went from Achashverosh to Mordechai. An interesting Tosfos over here. Tosfos points out, let us point out that if a woman is mizan, if a woman has an adulterous affair from her husband, so we know the halach is that she is asa labava, asa labava. So she's prohibited from both, from the one that she had the affair with, and she will be prohibited from her husband. So over here, Esther, is she not prohibited from Mordechai, having had an adulterous affair with Achashverosh? This is a basic question. So at this point in time, we can say that her relations with Achashverosh were not willing. She was an ones. She was forced to have relations with Achashverosh. And an anusa, and a woman who was forced, is not prohibited from her husband. We could say that at this point in time, but hold that thought until later on, a couple of dapim from now, where we're going to see there comes a point where she does not, where she no longer is forced, but she becomes a willing participant. We'll come back to that a little bit later on in the Gemara. In the meantime, however, what about paternity issues, meaning she's having relations now with two men. She's having relations with Achashverosh and with Mordechai. So what about paternity issues? If she becomes pregnant, we're not going to know who the father is, and the Gemara in Yevamos and in Gittin make sure that any time that a woman is going to go from one man to another, there has to be, right, she has to wait 3 months because there has to be an establishment of who the father is. So why aren't we worried about that over here? So take a look at Tosfos, where Tosfos writes, V'tovels v'yoshevos b'cheiko shel Mordechai. I was right, there are only two small tosfos on the Samud. V'im tamar v'hala yasham avchana shlosha chadashim, sh'arei b'chol yom hayaozo rasha matzui atzla. So Tosfos says, what about establishment of father? V'yishlam v'sha'isa m'shameshes b'moch. So Tosfos writes, that's a suggestion, that maybe Esther used contraception so that she would not become pregnant from Achashverosh. Okay, there is, again, all this is super interesting, I understand. All this is going to be difficult because Tosfos also elsewhere says that the child of Achashverosh and Esther is Dayavish. So not only does she become pregnant from Achashverosh, but they have a child together. And okay, that obviously if it's hard to put all this together, but right, certainly the picture right now we're painting is messy, admittedly, but okay, just some of the more basic issues that we're trying to deal with over here. Back to the Gemara. Okay, we're on Yud Gimel Amud Beis. We're about halfway down on the Amayamim Ahem. Okay, we are now at last couple of psukim in the second parak. What happens the last couple of psukim in the second parak of the Megillah? Assassination attempt on Achashverosh. Bayamim Ahem, Mordechai Yoshev B'Shar HaMelech, Katzav B'Ksam V'Ser Shnei Sarisei HaMelech. So the two officers, two eunuchs of the king, get angry with the king. The Megillah does not give us any explanation in terms of why, but they do. They conspire to assassinate the king, and Mordechai overhears and sends in word to the king through Esther that there's an assassination attempt. The matter is inquired, discovered that Mordechai was right, and that's how the second parak ends. And oh, by the way, these two were hung on a tree. Okay, so by Yamim Ayim Mordechai Yishev B'Shar Melchatzav B'Ksam B'Ser Shamar Rabbi Chiyah Bar Abba Amar Rabbi Yochanan Hiktiv HaKadosh Baruch Hu Adon Al Avadav. So the Gemara gives an explanation that HaKadosh Baruch Hu got angry on his descendants. Lasos Ritzon Tzadik. I'm sorry, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Adon Al Avadav Lasos Ritzon Tzadik Umani Yosef. In other words, a lot of this is manipulated, coordinated by HaKadosh Baruch Hu in order to do the bidding of a tzaddik, meaning that a master is going to get angry over his servants, also that we're going to help the tzaddik. So Umani Yosef, so the Gemara says, give an example of that. So the Gemara says, Yosef is a perfect example. Shenemar v'shamitanu nar ivri, right? Yosef was in jail with these two servants of Paro, and Paro got angry at them and threw them in jail. Also that they would be together with Yosef. Also that eventually the cupbearer is going to come out and remind Paro, hey, you know, you have a problem with dream interpretation. I got a guy. He's in jail. And all this was coordinated just so that to help Yosef out. So Avadim Al-Danayim, La'asos Gam L'Sadik, Omanu Mordechai. And the Gemara points out another example of this, and that would be Mordechai. Dechsi Vayivada Avad Hadavar L'Mordechai. So basically, what the Gemara now is suggesting is that there was no real reason why these two want to get upset with the king, and the king got angry with them, and they got angry with the king, and all this was basically just simply so that Mordechai would quote-unquote save the king, so that later on the king's going to remind himself, oh, I didn't do anything good for Mordechai, and it'll come up later in the Megillah, in the sixth parak, Balai Lahuna Dzashna Samelach. Good. So that is one explanation of why it is that they wanted to kill the king. The answer is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu designed it that way, just so that Mordechai now will have a credit towards the king. Am Rabbi Yochanan, Bigtam Tarshnei Tarsim Havu, Vahayu Masaprim Balashun Torsi. They were Tarsim and they spoke in Torsi. Okay, I don't know what nationality it is, what language it is, but the basic point of the Gemara is, Mordechai spoke. He spoke the language. The Omrim Yom Shabbat Azula Reina Shena Beinenu. And what was their major complaint? So according to this statement to Rav Yochanan, the major complaint was, you know, ever since Esther came here, so we're not getting any sleep. Rashi over here points out, why not? So Rashi writes, because he's with Esther all the time, he's getting really thirsty, and he's demanding that we come and give him drinks all the time. Okay, that's basically Rashi's explanation. Ba v'natil eres b'seifa k'dei shiamos v'hein, I'm sorry, shiamos. So their assassination plan was very simple. Put a little poison into his drink, he'll die, good. V'hein la yodim ki Mordechai miyoshvei elishkas agazis haya. What they didn't know is that Mordechai was a member of the Sanhedrin, speaking languages. V'ayo yodei b'shivan l'ashem, he knew 70 languages. Arma lo v'alo in mishmati mishmatach shava. So he says, you know, great. We will conspire, and we will we'll attempt to kill the king. But the problem is that we never work in the same shift. Amalo ani yeshmor mishmarti u'mishmartecha. So he says, no problem at all. Basically, you'll go and you'll poison the drink, and I'll cover both of our shifts at the same time. And now, in the end of the second parak, what does it say? They do a investigation. What do they learn in the investigation? The Gemara, now the Gemara explains, it finds out that they're not serving at their posts, meaning one person is trying to cover both posts, and that's how they discover, hey, where's the other guy? Okay. And through the investigation, they discover that one of them was, or actually both of them, were conspiring to kill the king. Achar hadvim ha'ela. Okay, now we're in the third parak of the Megillah. So now we are an assassination attempt on the king, foiled by Mordechai. And now we move into the third parak, and who we introduce to in the third parak? Haman. Achar hadvim ha'ela. But the third parak of the Megillah opens up with the words Achar hadvim ha'ela. You know how it works. Achar hadvim ha'ela means after these things. After what? What exactly was the precipitation, precipitated the installment of Haman? So the Gemara goes on to explain, Amar Rava, Acher Shabar HaKadosh Baruch Hu Refuah LaMakad, Amar Yish Lakish, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu Makad Yisrael, Elim Kim Bar Lam Refuah Tchila, Shenemar, Kerefe Yisrael, V'Nigle Avon Ephraim, Avon Ephraim. We have the Refuah in place. The medicine is set. HaKadosh Baruch Hu will give a Makad, he'll give a wound, but only after he places the refuah there. The refuah is, Mordechai now has a credit. He saved the life of the king. Now we can introduce Haman. And now we'll go through how Haman wants to kill the Jews, etc., etc. But only after telling us that the refuah is there. That's how HaKadosh Baruch Hu works in terms of saving the Jewish people. Now when it comes to the nations of the world, no, HaKadosh Baruch Hu does not do that. He gives the makkah and only prepares the refuah afterwards. Shenemar v'nagaf Hashem es Mitzrayim nagof v'rafo. Pasuk Yeshayahu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu plagued the Egyptians, he plagued them, and then he healed them. The healing only comes after the makkah. V'yivez ba'anav le'shloch yabba Mordechai levado. We're now in the third perek, and we are moving. We're all familiar. Haman is installed, he's elevated, and everyone has to bow down to Haman. Mordechai refuses to bow down to Haman, and Haman says, you know, kill Mordechai by himself, nah, I'm not going to do it. So, v'yivez b'einav l'shoch yabba Mordechai levado, amarav b'tchilasto b'Mordechai levado. Originally, Haman thought, oh, I can't deal with Mordechai, I want to kill him. Then, ba'am Mordechai, then he says, you know, no, I'm going to expand, I'm going to kill the Am Mordechai. Now, the Am Mordechai is not a reference to all the Jews, because that's coming up in just a moment. Who's the Am Mordechai? So Umanu Rabbanan. So the Gemara says that's the Chachamim, meaning basically Mordechai and all of his ilk, meaning the Chachamim of the time. Well, v'sof b'chol ha'yudim. So then he decided, you know, no, I'm not going to stop there. Not only am I going to kill all the Chachamim, but basically all the Jews as well. Here, people who are garal. So now he sets up a lottery. So Tana Kemeshi Nafa Pur Bechodesh Adar. So he sets up a lottery to determine by lottery when he's going to annihilate all the Jews. It comes out, the lottery comes out the month of Adar. He's so happy. So he says, Adar, great month to destroy the Jews. Why? Moshe died in the month of Adar. We have a tradition that Moshe died on the seventh day of Adar. And so he said, okay, good. All right, it's a propitious time for the Jews to be annihilated. Anyway, their great leader Moshe died in the month of Adar. And what he failed to realize is that not only did Moshe die in the month of Adar, but he also was born in the month of Adar. Right? We know that Moshe died on the day that he was born. Right? That is a sign, the Gemara Sachem, I think, 10th Perek. Okay, I should have looked it up. Anyway, the Gemara says that if a person dies on the day he was born, it means that he fulfilled his mission, right? In other words, it's a perfect circle, it's a perfect unit of life, and that he did exactly what he was supposed to do in this world. So Moshe died on the day that he was born. So Amar Nafali Pur B'Yeruch Shemes B'Moshe. So back to Haman. Haman says, good. Month that Moshe died, excellent. What happened? I just read that again. I'm sorry. Shibashiva Ba'Adar Mesa B'Shiva Ba'Adar Nolan. Yes, so Amachad. Sorry, I reread the line. Yes, Amachad, there is this nation. Amaravaleka diada lishna bisha kahaman. Nobody's better at Lashon Hara than Haman, the Gemara says. Haman was the best at Lashon Hara. So Amar le tanich linu. So Haman says, now you'll see in the course of this discussion, Haman is talking to Achashverosh, and he says, let's go, let's kill them. So Amar le mistafinim elohav, delo le ave boke de ave bekamai. So Achashverosh says, no, come on. You know, they're God. Their God is very powerful. You see what happened to the other nations who try to destroy the Jews, and to the other kings who tried to destroy the Jews. So Amalo Yeshlam the mitzvos. Salman says now they're sleeping from their mitzvos, meaning Yeshlam Achad. The pashat of the pasuk is there is this nation, but the Gemara's drush over here is Yeshlam from the word Yeshenim. They're sleeping, meaning they're not doing mitzvos. So their God right now is not going to be so defensive of them. Amale if behu rabbanon. So Achashverosh says, okay, you're right. The masters aren't so good with the mitzvos, but they still have their chachamim. So Amalei, im am echad hein. So that's what Haman says when he says they are one nation. Meaning it doesn't matter. They're viewed as one nationality, they're one nation, they're right, they're all together. So the couple of chachamim who are keeping the mitzvos aren't going to help. Shema tamar karcha ani oseh b'machusecha. And now, what's your counter-argument? I'm going to make a bald spot in your kingdom. Meaning, what are we going to do? We're going to exterminate all the Jews, and basically we're going to create an abscess in your nation. So he says, oh, don't worry about that. Mefuzarim heim bein ha'amim. They're all scattered out. No one's going to notice if we destroy them all. Shema tamar isana minayu. So now, what are you going to say? You know, we benefit from the Jews, right? There's that argument. So mefuradu. No, we don't really benefit. They're mifurad from the word preda. Preda is a mule. Mule is a cross between a horse and a donkey. And one of the notable things about a mule is that it cannot progenate. And that's the Jews, meaning no peros, no fruit. You're not really benefiting from them. They're not producing peros. Like it's okay. V'shema tamar ika medinasa minayhu. And maybe you'll say that there's this they have that small nation. So Tamalama bechol medinos machusecha, meaning no amongst all the nations of your country of your world. They're not even as a nationality. There's nothing. You're not going to be missing anything. Vidaseish hem shonos mikol am, and you know what? They're different. Haman's saying about the Jews. The lo achli minan, they won't eat our food. Velo nasbi minan, they won't marry our girls. They won't give our daughters over to us. The pasuk says, and they don't follow the law, meaning and the whole year, what do they say as employees? Oh, it's Shabbos today. Oh, it's Pesach today. Meaning they never come to work. They're always claiming that they have their holidays. So this is all Haman and the Lashon Hara says about the Jewish people. And for the king, it's not worth it. This is a pasuk in the Megillah, and for the king, it's not worth it to leave them. You know what they do? They sit, they eat, and they basically make fun of the king. And now, if a fly were to fall into their drink, into their cup of wine, so what do they do? The halacha says, take the fly, throw it out of the wine, and drink the wine. Wine doesn't become not kosher because of a fly. But try this, king. Why don't you touch one of the cups of their wine? And so what they're going to do is they're going to take the wine. In other words, what does the wine become if a non-Jew touches it? The stam yenam, that becomes prohibited. And they're going to take the wine and going to spill on the floor. So a fly falls into the wine, the wine's still fine. We'll just take the fly out. But if you touch the wine, that to them is disgusting. Okay. Once again, just to reiterate, Haman is excellent at Lashon Hara. Excellent. And then Haman says, and you know what? I'll pay you. I'll pay you to destroy the Jews. I'll give you 10,000 kikar kesef. So Amri Shlakish Golov Yudulf named Misha Amarvaya Olam Sha'asid Haman Lishkol Shkalim Al Yisrael. Kadosh Baruch Hu knows that this is going to happen, that Haman's going to offer the Shkalim. So therefore, Leficha Chigdim Shiklaim Lishkalav. So Kadosh Baruch Hu, preemptive strike, we give our Shkalim. So we give our shkalim, and that will counter the shkalim that was offered by Haman. And the Gemara quotes the Mishnah, the first Mishnah in Shkalim, did not be'achad be'adar mashmim ala shkalim. Va'ala klaim, on the first day of Adar, the announcement is made, give the shekel, the machatzis a shekel. And also the klaim, which is, people are warned, you better make sure not to have klaim in your field as well. Anyway, the Gemara is making this point on a smaller level and on a grander level. On the smaller level, meaning Purim is not till the 14th of Adar, and meanwhile, when do we give our shekel, our machatzis a shekel? On the first day of Adar. So on the small scale, our shekel comes before the shekel of Haman. But on, of course, on the larger scale, it means that the mitzvah of machatzis shekel was given years before Haman, so that our shekel will preempt his shekel. V'ha'am v'yomer ha'melch v'haman, we're in the last line of Yigim Amud Beis, and the king says to Haman, Akesef nasolach, you know what, the money, you keep the money. V'ha'am la'sos bo katov be'enecha, and you do that to that nation, whatever you want to do. Amar Rabbi Abba. So the Gemara says, top of Yudala, and Aleph Mashal Achashverosh, Haman Lamad Avedoma. Let's make a comparison between Haman and Achashverosh. Meaning, you see what just happened. Haman says, I want to kill the Jews and I'll pay you. Achashverosh says, you know what, kill the Jews and keep the money. So what does this show us? And the point is very clear. The Gemara here gives a beautiful mashal. I mean, it's not beautiful. You know, two people who wanted to annihilate the Jews, but just the mashal is excellent in terms of identifying that Haman and Achashverosh are no different than one another. So the mashal is that two people, one of them had this mound of dirt in his field, and the other one had a hole in his field. And the Baal Charitz, the one who had the hole, said, you know, I can't stand it. I need flat land. And if somebody would give me a mound of earth, I'd pay for it. And the one who had the mound of dirt said, you know, this mound of dirt is preventing me from planting, and I want to get rid of this mound of dirt. I'll pay somebody to take away the mound of dirt. They meet one another, and it was a perfect shidduch. Sell me your mound of earth. Sell me your mound of earth. What are you talking about? Take it away from me for free. And the Gemara, v'halavai, and I would be so happy. And that'd be unbelievable. And the Gemara points out, that's what happens when Haman meets Achashverosh. Now, in the Nimshah, by the way, I was trying to figure out, I don't know for sure, who's the one who has the mound, who has the one who has the hole, and, you know, but still, in other words, once they met each other, it was perfect, right? They each filled each other's need. And so Haman says, I'll kill the Jews and I'll pay you. And Achashverosh says, kill the Jews, pay me, please. By all means, go ahead and don't worry about paying me. You're doing me a favor. Okay, so the union between Haman and Achashverosh was a perfect union, and they both conspired to the same basic idea. And basically, we don't get the sense by reading Gila, but the Gemara over here certainly does. Haman and Achashverosh are really no different than one another. Vayasar Melachas Tabatomi Al Yado. And the king removes his ring from his finger and hands it over. It's a signet ring. And so basically, so that when the letter is written and it's going to be stamped and sealed with the ring of the king, so Haman is going to now instruct the enemies of the Jews around the world, here we go, Adar, 11 months from now, we're going to, by the way, this is Nisan. We're in the month of Nisan. We're 11 months earlier. We'll get the timeline later on. But we're going to go kill the Jews then. So he pens the letter, and they signs and signs, seals, and delivers the letter. So the king takes his ring off his finger. Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Kana Gedul Asar Tabas Yoser Me'arbim V'shmona Neviim V'shemen Neviyos Shnisnav L'Ham LiYisrael. You know, that removal of the ring off the finger of the king was more motivating than 48 prophets and 7 prophetesses, who give Musar and reprimand the Jewish people. You know, you got to correct your ways, And all we need is just simply to remove the ring off the king, and that is more motivating than all the Musa that we got from all the Nevi'im. And we understand the motivation, meaning, as a Navi is trying to give us Musa and Tochacha, so we're listening, and okay, that was very nice, wonderful speech. But then, when the ring is taken off and we're facing annihilation, obviously that's much more motivating. So Tan Rabban Rambam Mishmona Neviim V'Sheven Neviyos Nitzav L'Am Yisrael V'Lo Pischa V'Lo Sira Mashakas V'Torah. 48 Neviim and 7 Neviyos all prophesized and did not add a single word to the Torah, chutz mi Mikra Megillah, with exception to Mikra Megillah. Mikra Megillah gives us an additional mitzvah, and that, of course, is Purim. You'll wonder, as does Rashi, what about Hanukkah? Right? Isn't Hanukkah an addition? So Rashi says, sure it is, but it didn't make it into this Gemara because Hanukkah was not done through Nevuah. Hanukkah is an incident that takes place in the middle of Bayis Sheni. Nevuah is long gone by this point in time. So Hanukkah was a takana that was instituted by the Chachamim, but not through Nevuah. Purim is the only additional mitzvah, if you will, that's done through Nevuah. That's how Rashi understands our Gemara over here. My derosh. What was the drush? Amar Rabbi Chiya bar Rav and Amar Rabbi Yehoshua ben Karcha Umam Avdus Acheres Amar Shira Mimisa Chaim Lo Kol Shekein. So if we go from Avdus Acheres, so we say Shira, right? That's Avdus Acheres over here is a reference to Yitzias Mitzrayim. So Yitzias Mitzrayim. So what is our response to Yitzias Mitzrayim? Shira. Rashi says Shira Sayam. We sang a song. So too over here by Purim, it's better than Avdus Acheres. Misa l'chaim, we go from death to life. Lo kol shekein. So how much more so should we think Shira? So comes Purim. So now there's a mitzvah by the Chachamim, by the Nevi'im, let's say better, by the Nevi'im, for us to say Shira. So I hachi halal nami neima. So the Gemara says, okay, we get to one of the more classic moments now of the first perek of the Megillah, of Masechta Megillah, and that is, so we should be saying halal on Purim, shouldn't we? Of course. Meaning anytime we have a nes that happens to the Jewish people, we say halo. So that's true by Hanukkah, and why not by Purim? So here's the Gemara now asking the classic question, why isn't there a halo, an institution to say halo on Purim? Halo nami neima. So we're going to, Gemara is going to give you over here three basic answers. Answer number one, l'fishe enomrim halo al nesha b'chutz ha'aretz. So the Gemara says, nope. No halo because it's a miracle that occurs outside of Eretz Yisrael. And only miracles in Eretz Yisrael warrant the recitation of Halal. So the Gemara says, slow down. You see it's Mitzrayim, the Nesha B'chutzarts. So, hey, Chamin and Shira. So the Gemara says, okay, but you see it's Mitzrayim, right, they said Shira over there, and that was not in Israel. That was outside of Eretz Yisrael. And they said Shira, Shira Sayam. So to which the Gemara says, K'detanya, Ashalo Nichtun Solar, I'm sorry, Achalo Nichtun Yisrael La'aretz, Tukshur Kolaretzah, Slama Shira. Prior to our entrance into Eretz Yisrael, so then any miracle that happens geographically anywhere in the world would allow us to say Shira. Once we go into Eretz Yisrael, so then only miracles that take place in Eretz Yisrael warrant the recitation of Shira. So therefore, answer number one of the Gemara, Purim of course is a tremendous miracle, but the reason why we don't say Halal is because it's a nes that takes place outside of Eretz Yisrael. Good. Answer number two. I'm Rav Nachman, I'm a Kriyasazu Alila. So answer number two is we do say halal. It just happens to be the halal that we say on Purim is the Megillah. The Megillah is the replacement of halal. Rav Amar, and now answer number three.
There's no word of thanksgiving.
Huh?
There's no word of thanksgiving.
Okay, good point. I'll come back to that point in just a moment. Rav Amar Bishlam Asam Halal Avdei Hashem Velo Avdei Paro. Answer number three. Look, you know what we say in Halal? Halu Avdei Hashem, Velo Avdei Paro. Right? We are no longer servants of Paro. We are now only servants of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Okay, that's praiseworthy. Elahach, Halu Avdei Hashem, Velo Avdei Achashverosh, Akate Avdei Achashverosh Anan. But when it comes to Purim, so even after the tremendous nes that takes place in Purim, do you know where we are? Same place. We're not dead. We get to live, but we're still slaves to Achashverosh. So it's not hollow worthy. So understand now of the three answers that were just given, there is a very fundamental difference between answers one and three versus answer number two. Answer one and three is that it's not worthy to say hollow. Either for answer number one, it's because it didn't take place in Eretz Yisrael, or for answer number three, because our general state of affairs has not changed. We're still the slaves of Achashverosh, as opposed to Paro, where we were no longer slaves of Paro. Answer number two is fundamentally different. Answer number two is, no, it is halal worthy. And we do say halal, it just comes out in the form of the Megillah, but it's not halal itself. Okay, so a couple of points over here. First, let's just finish the Gemara, and then we'll come back and make a couple of points. So Bein L'Rabba, Bein L'Rav Nachman, Kasha, V'atanya Mishnah Nichnas L'Aretz, L'Luch Shul L'Kol Aretz L'Som Ashira. So the Gemara says, okay, but, you know, that was the Braisa that we quoted earlier, and the Braisa says that once we went into Eretz Yisrael, so we no longer recognize with Hallel a miracle that takes place outside of Eretz Yisrael. What do you do with that Braisa? It's a Braisa. So, Akim Shigalu, Chazul Lech Shira Narishon. So the Gemara says, yeah, but you're right, that's a Braisa, but once we're exiled, so you hit the reset button. Meaning you're right. When in Eretz Yisrael, only miracles in Eretz Yisrael weren't Hallel. But once we're exiled, okay, now we are, it's basically the same question that we asked just a short number of days ago, whether the Kedusha of Yerushalayim and Eretz Yisrael, is it permanent or is it temporary? So what the Gemara is suggesting over here is that once we're sent into exile, so we're hitting the reset button, now we are, and only when we go back to Eretz Yisrael do we centralize our Hallel to Eretz Yisrael. Okay, Adkan. That is the end of the Gemara's discussion. That is a classic discussion in the Gemara. Why don't we say Hallel on Purim? So again, answers 1 and 3 is that fundamentally we shouldn't be saying Hallel on Purim. Answer number 2 is no, fundamentally we should, and we do. It just comes in the form of the Megillah. So a couple, yeah?
Interesting. Correct.
Very good. The question that the Rishonim deal with is let's say on Purim you don't have a Megillah. Okay, you don't have one. You don't know how to read one or whatever. You don't have one. All right. So should you say Hallel on Purim? Meaning, it works in one direction where Purim substitutes for Hallel. Can it work in the other direction? Again, mind you, this only works for the second answer of the Gemara. Doesn't it work for answer number 1 and number 3? Answer number 1 and 3, fundamentally, we shouldn't be saying Hallel on Purim. But for answer number 2, Purim substitutes for Hallel. Can Hallel substitute for the Megillah if necessary? So some Rishonim say, yeah. So, yeah. The Meir is quoted. He says, yeah. Works the other direction as well. You could say Hallel if you don't have a Megillah. So a number of Achronim point out, no, it doesn't work in the other direction. The Megillah will substitute for Hallel, but not the other way around. Why? So Hedy, this gets to your point. Because a Nace warrants Hallel, because what's the story with a Nace? Meaning everyone looks at it, everyone sees it, everyone realizes, oh, that was a miracle. Straight from HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the sea split. A man comes down from Shamayim. Right? Candles light, I'm sorry, oil lasts for 8 days when it only should last for 1 day. So when it's a Nace and everyone sees it, okay, so you have Hallel. Meaning, it's clear, it's evident. However, when it comes to Purim, nothing was clear, nothing was evident. The story that's told in Purim takes place over the span of years, and it's all politics, and there's no moment of Nace, there's no moment of, oh, that was an open miracle, look at that. None of that happens. Only when you go through the entire story do you realize, Yad Hashem, and it's a miracle, but it's not. There's no open moment in the story where he's realized, oh, that's a Kadosh Baruch Hu. So the Megillah replaces Hallel, but some say not the other way around. You can't have Hallel replacing the Megillah because it's not that kind of Nace, which is why we do thank a Kadosh Baruch Hu on Purim, and we do say a form of Hallel, but it has to specifically be the Megillah. Otherwise, without going through the story from the beginning to end, we're not going to realize like what we're thanking a Kadosh Baruch Hu for. Right. There's no Hodu Hashem. That's a very good point. That's an excellent point. I mean, there were tefillas that were added, you know, after the Hallel. I'm saying after the Megillah. Okay, look at me now. After the Megillah, there were tefillas that were added. But you're right. In the Megillah itself, there's no Hodu Hashem. There's no, you know, agreed.
Maybe.
Okay. The Gemara a moment ago raised the issue that the removal of the ring of Achashverosh was more motivating than 48 Nevi'im and 7 Nevi'os. Good. And the Gemara points out that's it. That's the totality of prophets that existed throughout the history of the Jewish people. So the Gemara says, Visu Leika. That's the Gemara's question right now. We're in the middle of Yudal Med Aleph, halfway down, third wide line. And there was a man from Ramasaim Sofim. Echad mi Masayim Sofim. And the Gemara is darshing Ramasayim from the word Masayim, which means 200. Shinesav Lam Yisrael. So the Gemara says that Shmuel was better than 1 in 200. So right now we have the number at 200 Nevi'im. Okay, that's much more than 48. And even 48 plus 7. So the Gemara says, Mihava Tuva Havu. So the Gemara says, you're right. They were correct. There were much more than 48 plus 7 prophets. But Kiditanya Harbin Nevi'im Amdu Lam Yisrael, Kiflam Kiyotim Mitzrayim. Now the Gemara sets the number at 1.2 million. Meaning how many people historically were Nevi'im? So 1.2 million. So Ella Nevu Shehutzrichu L'Daros Nechtevu V'Shehutzrichu Lo Nechtevu. But probably, as you would guess, the Gemara says, but we're only counting Nevi'im that said a Nevuah, that would be for all generations. They were committed to writing. And all the other Nevi'im who did have prophecy and did experience some level of Nevuah, but it wasn't L'Daros, and therefore wasn't to be written down. Okay. By the way, are you curious to know who are the 48 Nevi'im are? Well, you don't have to worry about your curiosity for who the 7 Nevi'os are, because the Gemara, for the remainder of today's daf, is going to go through who the 7 Nevi'os are. Okay, that's going to be the balance of today's daf. What about the 48 prophets? Who are they? So, Rashi and Devir. So, I'm not going to go through the Rashi together with you, apologies. But if you take a look at Rashi, on the bottom of the first column to the top of the second column, there's no Tosfos on the Samud, a couple of short ones on the bottom left-hand side, but you will see there Rashi actually goes through all 48. Rashi at the... That is interesting. Rashi, when he gets to the end, Rashi says, I got you to 46, and Rashi at the end of the list, at the list says, two of them, I cannot tell you who they are. Right? Again, Rashi, this is one of the part of the greatness of Rashi, where Rashi, when he gets to a roadblock, he doesn't make excuses. He just simply says, "I don't know," right? It's powerful. So anyway, you could see Rashi for the whole list of 46. Anyway, the Ar Gemara, Rabbi Shmuel Bar Nachman Amar, Adam Abba Mishte Ramos Shit Sofa Zu Azu. As long as we darshan the word Ramasayim, another drasha, somebody who comes from two Ramos, two high places. Shit Sofo Zuazu, who's able to see one another. Another explanation of Ramasayim, meaning multiple high places. Okay. Back to the Gemara. Rabbi Chanin Amar Adam Haba Mibnei Adam Shomdim Berumo Sha'olam. Shmuel was a descendant from people. By the way, Shmuel, right? No. It's the beginning of Sefer Shmuel. No, it's Shmuel is at Eli. Who are we describing over here? Might be Eli. I don't have the Tanakh in front of me. Okay, Umanenu b'nei Korach. He descended from Korach, meaning we just saw this in last week's parsha. Shmuel. Huh? Elkanah. Right. Okay. So, Bnei Korach. Dechsevu Bnei Korach Lameisu. The Pasuk says that the sons of Korach didn't die. Tanim Mishum Rabbeinu Makom Nisbat Alehem Begehinom. Ve'amdu Alav. And the Gemara points out that as the old ground opened up and everyone's dropping down to the ground, so the Bnei Korach, the actual sons of Korach themselves, so we're able to save themselves by standing in some sort of cleft that allowed for the sons of Korach not to keep falling down. Okay. Adkan. All right, so that takes us now up to the Sheva Nevi'os. Okay, let's just quickly start us off. Let's go through the first couple of Nevi'ot. Sheva Nevi'os Maninhu. So first of all, let's identify who they are. Sarah, Miriam, Dvorah, Chana, Avigal, Chulda, the Esther. Okay, so those are the seven. And the Gemara now is going to go through each one and tell us how we know each one of them is a Nevi'ah. Sarah dechsev avi mekav avi yiskev amra avi yisak yiskezu Sarah. Yiske mentioned at the end of Parshas Noach is a reference to Sarah. V'lam nekro shmo yiske shesachsa baruch hakodesh. She was anointed with Ruach HaKodesh. She never called her shetomar elecha Sarah shema b'kola. Avram was told by Kadosh Baruch Hu, Sarah gives you instruction, you follow Sarah's instruction. Shema Bekola. And why? Because she's in a veil. She knows what she's talking about. Dava Acher Yiske Shekol Sochem Yofya. And by the way, another possible understanding of the word Yiske Socha, meaning everyone looks at her because she's beautiful. Miriam, Dechziv Atikach Miriam HaNeviya. Achos Aharon. Miriam takes, she's the sister of Aaron. And this is the end of Az Yashir. And the Gemara is bothered by a very simple question. V'lo achos Moshe? Yeah, she's also the sister of Moshe. Why is the pasuk focusing on her being the sister of Aaron? Amar Av Nachman, Amar Av Shaisa, Misnavik, Kishi achos Aaron. Because when she was only the sister of Aaron, meaning going years back, it was just Miriam and Aaron. So, Omeris Atida Imisha Tela Ben Shioshias Yisrael. Through Nevuah, she knows that the next child that they're going to have is going to be the savior of the Jewish people. And when Moshe was born, the entire house was filled with light. And so what does Dad do? Dad mean here, meaning Amram, gives her a kiss on the head. That's your Nevuah. But then as power is throwing all the children, all the firstborn, all the sons, I should say, into the Nile, so Amram gives her a little patch on her head. It says, where's your Nevuah? I know this Gemara over here doesn't give Amram a lot of amun, a lot of faith. Okay, it's an unusual Gemara in terms of how it depicts Amram. And she's standing by the bank of the Nile, watching her brother being going off in the little teva that was created for him. So lada, in order to know, and the Gemara says in the context of our discussion, what does that mean to know? To know her nevuah. Okay, stop over here. Tomorrow we'll pick it up with Devorah. Devorah will be the next nevuah on the list of seven nevuahs.